good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in time and space. Time once again for another exciting episode of the IronCurtain.us podcast, and I have a wonderful topic today. We are going to be looking at race relationships, and this what spurred this whole podcast was an op-ed piece in the New York Times over the weekend by Echo Yanka, who is a professor of law at the Benjamin N. Cardoza School of Law. And this is the typical out-of-contact, what-reality, lack-of-fact-based perspective and worldview. And this is a typical race-baiting type article that we see today. So we're going to read through this. I also want to take a look at what Abraham Lincoln had to say during the one of the Lincoln-Douglas debates. We'll take a look at that as well. But I want to unpack this. And basically, Professor Yanka starts out trying to explain to his kid why he is going to be unable to be friends with white people. And basically, it's because we're bad and we're mean and all of the typical stuff that we hear today. So he says here, my oldest son, wrestling with a four-year-old's happy struggles, is trying to clarify how many people can be his best friend. My best friends are you and Mama and my brother and... But even a child's joy is not immune to the ominous political period. This summer's images of violence in Charlottesville, VA, prompted an array of questions. Some people hate others because they are different, I offer, lamely. A childish but distinct panic enters his voice. But I'm not different. First of all, so let's stop right there. The violence in Charlottesville was caused by left-wing Antifa groups and Black Lives Matter. There was a alt-right march there in protest of, I believe it was, the removal of a General Robert E. Lee statue. And this alt-right group, which composed of many people, and from what I understand, there was also neo-Nazis there, and maybe even some members of the KKK, but that wasn't the totality of it. The alt-right is a much wider array than that. But anyway, the violence there was started by the left, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. So he's starting off on shaky ground right from the beginning. Meaningful friendship is not just a feeling. It is not simply being able to share a beer. Real friendship is impossible without the ability to trust others, without knowing that your well-being is important to them, and desire to create, maintain, or wield power over others destroys the possibility of friendship. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous dream of black and white children holding hands was a dream precisely because he realized that in Alabama, conditions of dominance made real friendship between white and black people impossible. Now, we don't live in this world today. Segregation, Jim Crow, slavery, all of those things have been gone for quite a long time. And there is no political force out there that seeks or has power to control or dominate over the black race. So that is a red herring there in that paragraph. We'll continue. History has provided little reason for people of color to trust white people in this way. And these recent months have put in the starkest relief the contempt with which our country measures the value of racial minorities. America is transfixed on the opioid epidemic among white Americans. He goes on, we'll skip some of that. Likewise, despite centuries of exclusion and robust evidence of continuing racism, professor, this is just absolutely insane. Yes, you know what? There is robust evidence of continuing racism, but that racism happens to be racism from Negroes perpetrated on white people. That's the robust evidence that we see today. As a matter of fact, Colin Flattery just posted another video, and he has a whole series of videos, a playlist of all the hoax hate crimes where yet another African American spray painted his own car. Recently, I was on a thread on the Tinley Park Post-Dispatch, a suburb of Chicago, where there was racist swastikas painted on stop signs. And I put forth the proposition that quite possibly it might have been Negroes that had done this, and people acted as if I was insane. And of course, I gave just a few links of the most recent hoax hate crimes that have been triumphed in the news, trumpeted in the news, and then when it's found out to be someone black, there's never a recantation, there's never an apology or anything like that. But what we see today, and I can only speculate that the reason why there are all these fake hoax hate crimes that are later discovered to be perpetrated by Negroes themselves is the lack of hate crimes put forth by white people. If you had actual white people who were going around perpetrating some sort of hate crimes, be it spray paint or physical violence or anything like that on black people, then we wouldn't see all of these just continued instances of hoax hate crimes. And I would encourage you to go to Colin Flattery's YouTube channel and read his books, White Girl Bleeds a Lot, and also Don't Make the Black Kids Angry, The Hoax of Black Victimization. I've done a book review. And this is all data. It's all documentation. This here, what the Professor Echo is putting forth, is built on fog. There is no tethering to reality of this robust evidence of continuing racism towards black people. It is a myth. It is a hoax. He has no reason to say this. Let's go on to what he says here. As against our gauzy national hopes, I will teach my boys to have profound doubts that friendship with white people is possible. When they ask, I will teach my sons that their beautiful you is a fault line. Spare my platitudes of how we are all the same on the inside. I first have to keep my boys safe. And so I will teach them before the world shows them this particular brand of rending, violent, often fatal betrayal. This is so untethered, and this is what I say. The reason why there's so much hatred towards white people today is because black people teach their children just exactly what this professor is going to teach his children. As if his black children are in some physical threat. Are you in? This is insane. 87%. Every year there is about 600,000 reported interracial crimes. And of those some 600,000 interracial crimes, 87% of these crimes are black on white. Again, I refer you to Colin Flattery that documents so heavily the amount of flash mobs and the knockout game and the continued mob action of groups, gangs of Negroes that go around and attack white people is off the chain, insane, incredible. 87% of interracial crime is black on white, and you, sir, have the audacity to teach your children that they need to be afraid of the big white man out there? This is a problem. Yes, I first have to keep my boys safe, and so I will teach them before the world shows them this particular brand of rending, violent, often fatal betrayal. Yeah, you know what? The often vital, fatal betrayal is the black murder rate. If I am not mistaken, I believe somewhere in the 90%, upper 90% of, or maybe it's 87%. Can't remember. It's up there. It's off the chain. The 97% of all shootings and 91% of all murders are committed by black people in this country. Now, let's keep in mind that the black population is only 13%. and they're producing this number of violent acts. This is just off the chain sad that he would teach his children to mistrust and to hate white people like so many black families do today. And that's why we have this incredible racism towards white people. He says, what's surprising is that I am heartbroken at all. It is only for African Americans who grew up in such a place that watching Mr. Trump is so disorienting. For many weary minorities, the ridiculous thing was thinking friendship was possible in the first place. It hurts only if you believe friendship could bridge the racial gorge. I want to talk a little bit about, can we be friends? And the answer to that question is yes and no. I would say yes, that there are individual instances where blacks and whites can be friends. I've had black friends myself, and there are many people that have black and white intermixing friendships all over the place. But on a whole, I would say no. I agree that the professor is absolutely correct here. And I want to go now to, and let's take a look at what Mr. Lincoln said, and we're going to unpack this a little bit and add it as well. Now, during his famous debates with the Senator Stephen Douglas, Lincoln explained to the crowd, quote, "I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of whites and blacks. I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or juniors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people. And I will say in addition to this that there is a physical difference between the whites and black races which I believe will forever forbid the two races from living together on terms of social and political equality. And insomuch as they cannot so live, while they do remain together, there must be a position of superior and inferior, and as I much as any other man am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white race." Wow, this isn't often cited by Mr. Lincoln, but there's a lot of truth here. And we know today that he is absolutely correct. Now, Mr. Lincoln didn't have access to DNA research. He did not have access to over 100 and some years of IQ testing in some over 120 different countries. He didn't have privy to all this, but he didn't need that to realize that there was a physical, biological, genetic difference between blacks and whites. Today, we know just in the last 3 years that all non-Africans have as much as 8% Neanderthal DNA, that Caucasoids interbred with other hominoid species that Negroids did not interbreed with, and vice versa. So this idea that we're all just one big happy family cannot hold underneath the new evidence of the genetics of this. The other thing is the IQ. We've talked about this. IQ. And as Sam Harris recently stated in one of his podcasts, that there isn't anything as solid within the psychological sciences as the following. One, there is a thing called general intelligence. Two, that this general intelligence can be measured. And three, that general intelligence is not equally distributed amongst racial groups. These are facts today. So what is happened is that blacks, this is the crust of this whole thing, blacks have not been as successful in white societies. Therefore, they blame white oppression and racism as the primary cause of their failures. That's what all of this is stemming from. The problem with it is not true. IQ is one of the leading factors of and determiners of success in a first world modern nation, and blacks score miserably as a whole. That's not to say that there are not highly intelligent black people and really stupid white people. Of course there are. But the numbers are profound. And the other problem is that most of this is genetic. Unlike the cultural Marxist who likes to claim and prescribe a remedy of some sort of environmental change, you can't change genetics by moving to Florida. It doesn't work like that. And as scientists are now discovering, anywhere between 70 to 60 to 80% of our personality, of our character, of so many things, of our taste, likes and dislikes, is genetic. That's not to say that there are not environmental factors. Of course there are, but they are not the dominant determiner. So, what do we do with this new information? How do we go? This is what we should be asking ourselves. We should be having an honest conversation about race. And it doesn't have to be from an oppressive position. That's not where I'm coming from. I am a race realist. and I am a white advocate, and that doesn't mean that I wish to persecute blacks. I wish to maintain, though, my culture, my race, my heritage. And it is under assault from professors like this, from the New York Times, from all of the left media, arts, all of this constantly is what we see, is white race and culture being put under attack unjustly, and they do not have the evidence to support it. This latest op-ed in the New York Times is just the latest screed from a leftist professor that just is a shame. It's sad that he would teach his children to dislike and be distrustful of white people. All of the evidence suggests that white people should be raising their children to be distrustful of black people. And there's a lot of evidence to support that this is probably a damn good idea. The crime, the violence, the hatred coming from the black population towards the white community is absolutely insane and off the chain. I would love to hear your perspectives on this. Please leave comments below. Please share this podcast with other people. Tweet it. Post it on Facebook. Wherever you can. There's a war out there, folks. Let's get involved. As always, be safe.